93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Two games in, 180 minutes played, zero goals scored. Safe to say it's been a painful start to the new league campaign for the Blues.
Under the crossbar, Bazuma, he dropped it in the goal, he has, and the goal's given, is it? Is it a free kick or a goal?
Free kick.
It's a free kick.
And it almost got a whole lot worse yesterday. Ellis Harrison lucky to see Pompey get away with handing the Dale a clear chance to open the scoring.
McGilvery tries to make a save, Watmore clears off the line, and Portsmouth and Ellis Harrison get out of jail. It's still 0-0.
So that's 2 points on the board for Kelly Jackett's side, who have drawn both of their opening two League One matches with a scoreline of 0-0. First at home to Shrewsbury and then away to Rochdale 8 days later. Following the ineffective start to the season, we're seeking your help from back home to see us through the next hour of Pompey discussion. The talent is there and the big names can be found in the squad, but why are the Blues struggling to pick up results? Is it down to the tactics, a lack of confidence, or even the inability to get the players motivated? Perhaps all three. Let us know your thoughts by getting in touch with the show between now and 7pm. All the ways to do so can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Welcome to your chance to have your opinions broadcast on air. This is the platform for Pompey fans to have their say. This is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome to you all to the show, which is once again this season supported by Stagecoach Buses. Download the Stagecoach app today from either the Apple app or Google Play Store, where you can plan your next journey and keep up to date with the latest timetables and traffic disruptions. Yesterday, the Blues made the long trip up to Rochdale for their second league match of the new season, looking to pick up their first league win of the campaign and to put behind the midweek Carabao Cup defeat at Brighton. On the show this evening, I'll be joined by two more Pompey fans over the phone to help me pick apart the performance and discuss what the future holds for the team. And in keeping with the format of the show, we're going to start off by listening back to the highlights of the game. On the commentary for this one, up in Greater Manchester, was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
I'm going to say this with everything crossed, but this could be the final game for now that Portsmouth play behind closed doors. Neither side really laying a glove on the other side at the moment. Defence is pretty comfortable. Gives it short to Curtis. He might fancy a go from here. Curtis on his right foot. Ronan Curtis high over the bar. 0-0. There weren't too many openings 8 days ago at Grafton Park. Suddenly things wide open up for Rochdale. Shot from distance is just wide of the post from Ollie Rathbone. McGilvery was watching it and it goes the wrong side of his right hand post and it stays 0-0. Ball chipped forward and Portsmouth had it and lost it. And now Newby drives into the penalty area. Newby with a good chance for Rochdale and he drags it across the face of goal and it's going to go out of play for a throw. Here's Curtis. Last action of the half is a shot from distance. High and wide. That brings the first 45 minutes here at Spotland to an end. Here we go. Portsmouth all in orange going from right to left in this second 45 minutes. It's given away by Rochdale at the back. It's a real chance for Marcus Harness. To Marquez. He's put it wide. What an opportunity. Pompey gifted a chance and they've blown it. 0-0. Pompey just need to find a win from somewhere. Curtis coming down the left-hand side. He's got Brown on the overlap. Curtis, will he cross with his left? But he will in towards the near post. It's loose in the six-yard box. Chance for Cannon. No, he can't get on the ball. And it goes behind. It's a corner kick.
I'm sure there was a few words at half-time from Kenny Jackett, but they look a better side this second half, this first 15 minutes or so.
And it comes from Brown. Under the crossbar, Bazuma, he drops.
dropped it in the goal. He has, and the goal's given, is it? Is it a free kick or a goal?
Free kick.
It's a free kick. Into the final 10 minutes. 0-0 between Portsmouth and Rochdale here in League One. Here's Johnson. Johnson with the chance to cross into the penalty area. Looking for Marquis. It's tipped over the bar. It's a glorious chance. It's a corner. Lund is down the line and Raggett's come across to do some defending. Harrison back there. A terrible back pass from Harrison. A great chance from Rochdale. Dunn's missed his kick. Is that the let-off Pompey need? McGilvery tries to make a save. Watmore clears off the line. And Portsmouth and Ellis Harrison get out of jail. It's still 0-0.
Possession up to 55%, or just over 54% for Pompey. They've had 19 shots, but only four of them have been on target.
And Portsmouth start the new League One season with consecutive 0-0 draws. They might have been significantly better in the second 45 minutes, but nonetheless, Guy Whittingham, that is a frustrating result this afternoon. Not a good result, even though it was a better performance after half-time. Full-time here at Spotlands, it's finished. Rochdale 0, Portsmouth 0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights, if you can call it that, of yesterday's 0-0 draw with Verdale at the Crown Oil Arena. Let's bring in the thoughts of my two guests now, then, who join me over the phone lines. First of all, it's a welcome back to the show, Hugh Bunce from the PO Forecast. Hugh, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Football Hour, my friend.
Good to be back again, Jake, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me. And I wish it was a bit of a better result that we could talk about. But yeah, let's get into it.
Time to get into it, like you say, and a lot to discuss between now and 7 o'clock. Despite the lack of goals, you would imagine it would be not so much to talk about, but I think we've got quite a lot to get through. First of all, Hugh, I'd like to know your initial thoughts on Pompey's slow start to the season. How would you summarise the first few games, and how do you see things improving at Fratton Park?
Well, to be honest, mate, it's been a pretty difficult start for the season, isn't it? And I think the main thing at the moment is that Pompey just don't seem to be able to get the ball forward to sustain some proper attack. Morris looks particularly deep in the centre of midfield along with Naylor. There's no link up between the midfield and attack, and it's causing the attackers to come deep and try and gather the ball. So we don't look like we're going to score at the moment. And that's the worrying thing. Even when we're getting a couple of chances like Marquis was last night.
Yeah. And joining Hugh on the show tonight is Freddie Webb, who I believe makes his Football Hour debut this evening. Freddie, welcome along and thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Jake. How are you? Yeah, it's my the first time I've been on here in coming from sunny North Yorkshire. So yeah, happy to be on.
Freddie, I understand you're a bit of a statsman when it comes to football. I'll give you and the listeners one from yesterday. Pompey managed 23 shots but failed to convert any of them. And whilst I'm looking forward to hearing any more you've got prepared for us today, getting the ball in the back of the net is arguably the most important factor of all. What's going on?
Oh, precisely. Yeah. I do enjoy some analytics. I do go through them. But at the moment, yeah, Portsmouth just aren't converting their chances. And I think a lot of that is down to the fact that they're quite one-dimensional. So for a lot of the game, Portsmouth cross way too much sometimes, even when there's another opportunity. And I think a lot of that is down to the fact that their movement off the ball in the first two games and in the cup games hasn't been that great.
Yeah.
When Portsmouth have played well under Kenny Jackett, they press high and there's always an option for another player in an attacking sense. So yeah, that's been the main problem, I think. They just haven't been able to create enough chances to essentially warrant the fact that they're not scoring at the moment.
Yeah. Lads, it is great to have you both on the show tonight, in particular due to the distance between ourselves on the map. Usually, pre-COVID, it would be quite difficult to get you both on, but with restrictions allowing guests to only join on the phone, it's given us a great chance to catch up. So, yeah, once again, I'd like to thank you both for taking the time out of your days to chat this evening. Going to carry on with you, Hugh, and something which Kenny Jackett has highlighted in his post-match interviews over the last week or so is the amount of corners, the amount of crosses the Blues are getting into the box. But where do you stand with that? Because quite frankly, it doesn't matter how many crosses you get into the box. The most important thing is getting the ball in the back of the net, which we just can't do.
Well, I mean, there's no point in having any corners, is there, if you're not going to get or even really challenge to get someone on target and really and score some goals. And as Freddie touched on, we seem to be crossing the ball into the box as a sort of strategy. And, you know, Kenny Jackett's talking about it now. He's highlighting it. He said last season about how we're good at getting quick and getting the ball into the box. But what we really need to be doing, Jake, is really mixing it up and start passing the ball. And that has to start in midfield. There's no point just getting as close as you can to the box and thinking, right, I reckon I could just about get it into the box now, so I'm going to put my boot through it.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit interesting as well, because last season we started getting a little bit dangerous from set plays. You know, the likes of Burgess scoring headers, you know, Seddon came in and suddenly our delivery was a lot better. But, you know, where's that gone down?
Yeah, I'd love to know the answer, to be honest. I'm sure thousands of Pompey fans would too. Do you think with the signing of Michael Jacobs, we'll hear from him later on in the show, Freddie, but do you think the signing of Jacobs will help to boost Pompey's chances going forward? We've seen us go now three games in all competitions without scoring a goal. Michael Jacobs has come into the team. We saw him briefly yesterday in that number 10 role. He was then switched out to the left-hand side when Ellis Harrison came on to what looked like a 4-4-2 formation at times. Do you think his impact will start to show as the games go on? Is it just a case of him gelling with the squad?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Since Michael Jacobs with Wigan didn't really have a pre-season, it will take him a while to get going. And I think on paper it's an excellent signing.
Yeah.
Can play anywhere across the three behind the striker, and I think he's got the creative nous to be able to unlock that number 10 role. Previously, when Gareth Evans has played there, he's been bought like a second striker sometimes. When for example those balls do come into the box, he's always let it in and around the outside of the penalty area, looking to come in and have a shot. And with Andy Cannon, it's a bit different because he's a more pressing central midfielder when he plays in that number 10 role, which worked really well. But then again, the only problem was when he did play there, Portsmouth did go out on the flanks way too much.
Yeah.
So yes, I do think if Jacobs plays 10 or as a centre or second fielder, I think Portsmouth going forward will be a bit better. But as long as Kenny Jackett makes those tactical tweaks with the link-up play, etc.
Yeah, and Kenny Jackett is a man who has come under a lot of criticism, not just lately, but over the last few months or so. But we've got a tweet in from Stephen Bowles who says, when are the players going to start taking responsibility for their performances? I'm fed up with everyone blaming the manager. It is the players on the pitch that have to perform. The first half yesterday, too many didn't seem bothered. The second half was better. We had enough chances to score and win easily. And it is a very fair point that Stephen's raised there, Hugh, and something that we have debated on several occasions on the Football Hour over the last season or so. Do you think that it is a shared responsibility between the two, or are you of the belief that, I mean, what, we're now in our fourth season in League One, that it maybe is down to the manager to get the best out of his team after such a long time at the helm?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say that I think John Marcus actually came out on Twitter today, didn't he? And actually,
yeah.
You know, he said, you know, I should have done better with those opportunities and took a bit of responsibility for himself. So I think that's a good example of the players actually going beyond to take, you know, some responsibility. But the responsibility, in my opinion, has to come down to Kenny Jackett, because in the first half, you had Morris just sitting there, Naylor sitting deep, you know, both of them not joining the attack. And after half time, they came out a little bit and they were able to get forward a bit more. And as soon as they started pressing a bit, you sort of saw more opportunities coming Pompey's way. So a little bit to what Freddie said about Cannon not being, you know, a natural cam. What you need really is Jacobs being in that cam role, and then behind him in the centre of midfield, someone like Andy Cannon or Ben Close, who's more attacking minded and get forward and support that player.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's about a system. It's about Kenny Jackett being too defence orientated. And that's the problem, not the individual players.
Is it that Pompey are too conservative, Freddie, in their approach to the games? Because, I mean, you look at Kenny Jackett's stats as a manager at the club, and he's got one of the best records post-war of any Pompey manager, you know, that we've had over the last 70 years or so. But, as Hugh has just mentioned, a lot of that does come down to the way he sets his team out, and that is simply not to lose.
Oh, precisely, yeah. Kenny Jackett's win percentage has been brought up several times, but I think even for Kenny Jackett's tactics, they have got worse as the season's gone on. I can remember two seasons ago where Portsmouth played Sunderland in the playoffs. Before then, I didn't think Portsmouth would get out of the top two because of the way they played.
Yeah,
with that rock-solid back four and the offensive-minded that managed to score like over 100 goals that season in all comps. And then last season, we had an unbeaten home run in the league. And it's really, to outsiders, it seems ridiculous that we're even having these discussions. But yeah. I think if you look back to last season, many games that I watched away mostly, where Portsmouth have managed to dig themselves out of a hole and get those results in spite of some of the tactical tweaks that didn't work. And despite, for most of the game, Portsmouth not playing very well.
Yeah.
I think one of the examples was Rochdale away last season, where he won 3-0. I still don't know how Portsmouth won 3-0 to that day. And it was the high-quality players that bailed them out on that occasion. So, yeah, I think for Portsmouth to do well this season, there's got to be some tactical tweaks in terms of the link-up play, which you just mentioned, and the pressing. Last season, Portsmouth did their best when they pressed high, got on top of the ball, and then with a direct counter-attack. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it works.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it just seems inept at the moment.
Is this season the last chance, Hugh, for Kenny Jacket to get Pompey promoted, do you feel? His contract is ending at the end of the campaign. Do you feel that if promotion is not achieved, then that could be the end of him?
Well, I think it definitely should be the end of him, to be honest, Jake. I was personally hoping for a change of manager after the end of this season. It's got to be the end of him, hasn't it? Because if you look at the players at the moment, and some fans are coming out and say, as we said before, for the guy who tweeted in, that the players should take some responsibility. Mm. But they look like a team of players who are frustrated, who have lost confidence in the system that the manager's telling them to play. And we really need someone new, fresh and modern to come in and inspire these players to go out and play some attacking football that we all want to see.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to head to a quick break here now on the Football Hour, after which we'll be catching up with the gaffer, who provides his thoughts on yesterday's draw up in Rochdale, as well as an update on Pompey's activity in the transfer window too. While we're gone, why not get in touch and let us know your thoughts on the latest events at Pompey? What do you pinpoint the slow start to the season down to? Could it be a lack of confidence within the squad, or even an inability to get motivated during games? And where do you believe the Blues need to improve the most to get a result against Wigan this Saturday? All the usual ways to get involved: text for Word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Include @expressfm within your tweets, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Hugh, Freddie and I will be right back after these messages.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey through and through. The show is this season driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Go to stagecoach.co.uk for the latest information on timetables, fares and, of course, COVID guidelines. Here on the Football Hour and, of course, Pompey Live too, we absolutely love to hear from you back home, the Pompey faithful. Your thoughts, your opinions, your questions, predictions and even feedback. Please do not hesitate to get in touch with the show, even if you just fancy checking in and saying hello. More specifically tonight, however, myself, Hugh and Freddie are interested in knowing how you feel about the current situation at Pompey, and more so yesterday's draw at Rochdale. Do you believe there is a lack of motivation being distributed amongst the team? Do the Blues suffer from not having a vocal point, a leader on the pitch? And how many more signings are needed before the closure of the transfer window in just under 3 weeks' time? To get involved, it's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. It's pompey@expressfm.com on the emails, @expressfm if you're on Twitter, or facebook.com/pompeylive if you'd prefer to contact us on there. And whilst you do that, we're going to hear from the manager, Kenny Jacket, who revealed his frustrations to Andy Moon after yesterday's stalemate at the Crown Oil Arena.
Yeah, some frustration I felt. You know, again, we built up a good head of steam in the second half and... yeah, look, got on top, couldn't quite get the touch that we needed or the finish that we needed to some very good balls in the box and crosses, you know, in the wide areas. We got down both sides and exploited that. And as I said, you know, for you know, a club that does pride itself on its crossing and you know, as a game plan, it works. You know, we've got good quality balls in the box, created good chances, particularly in the second period, and we did settle down and look quite strong. Rochdale always do pose a threat whenever they come to you, and we'll leave people up front to try to nick it. But similarly, you know, we are frustrated with the way the game went. I did feel that there was a goal or goals there for us today, and unfortunately we couldn't get any.
How frustrating that you didn't really get going until after half time.
Yeah, but 0-0 at half time isn't a bad scoreline necessarily. It was 50-50 in the first half, and we did need to be better, more confident on the ball in the second period, and we did. But it's not necessarily easy for the boys after you know, getting beat 4-0 live on TV, to go out there on the next game and play with lots of confidence. It just needed to build up slightly. I'm talking at half time about, you know, just relaxing a little bit and, you know, showing what you can do, because, you know, we have some very good players, and, you know, he's uptight in the first half, lacking a little bit of confidence, and you know, certain aspects of it started to come in the second half, I did feel, but I needed to get over that midweek defeat, and you know, as I said, you know, build up some confidence. It's easily said, but not always easy to do. And anyway, you know, we're ultimately frustrated though, because, you know, we did have good control, and I was pleased with the amount of chances we created, and unfortunately we couldn't get over the line to get us the win that we wanted.
How is John Marcus? Because he'll surely be pretty frustrated to miss those two headed opportunities here.
Yeah, he will. I mean, there's one, you know, Marcus pulled back to him, he's just put that wide, and it's good to see John getting chances. He'll be very frustrated, obviously, yes, at you know, missing opportunities, but he'll be encouraged the amount that we have created for him today, and that's where it is. It's just tough, you know, being the centre forward. There's a pressure on goal scorers, and he'll want his first goal of the season, but, you know, we'll all rally round him and keep him going. It's a long season. He has a pedigree to score the goals, and you know, we all believe that he can for us as well.
And what was the thinking going two up for that last 20 minutes?
Yeah, just with, you know, Michael Jacobs coming in and then Marcus Harness, it just gives us, you know, some wide men where it's just slightly different. You know, we do play Ronan, you know, very much up. When we go two up, it looks like three up, and probably a little bit too much, you know, too much in terms of balance and directness. So, you know, I do think, you know, it's perhaps an option for us. Now we have Michael Jacobs, it opens up us up to be able to maybe get down the sides a little bit more of people, and then ultimately, anyway, in a period where we're on top, get an extra body in the box.
Did you think Matty Dunn had won it for them at the end?
Yeah, I did. You know, as Ellis has run back and put him away and played him in, you know, with a back pass, and I think it actually hit his standing foot as he sort of took the ball wide of the keeper, really. But yeah, I thought it was going to roll it in, definitely, yeah.
A week now off, any chance of any further additions this week ahead of the Wigan game?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we have 21 players in the squad, and you know, I think throughout the course of the year that could stand us in good stead and be an advantage for us. At the moment we haven't got any outfield players injured, only Alex Bass, and we're expecting him back shortly, and you know, we feel got quite a good squad and a deep squad, and we have to use that to our advantage and make sure that throughout the course of the season that it works in our favour. For, you know, the game today, then obviously, you know, we have people fit and competing for places, but, you know, right the way through the season that won't be the case. So having a deep squad, I do think, will be an advantage for us during the course of the year.
Thanks for your time, Kenny.
Kenny there with his thoughts on Sunday's 0-0 draw away to Rochdale, Pompey's second consecutive board draw in the league since it started 9 days ago, and their third game in a row in all competitions without scoring a goal. The Blues have gone 322 minutes of football, Hugh, without scoring. The last time they did so came via Marcus Harness in the first half against Colchester in the EFL Trophy group stage opener on the 8th, and that followed a 3-3 draw away to Stevenage not long before that as well. So it is troubling times, but it's also frustrating how we started the season okay against League 2 sides, but we started the season actually with a free-flowing scoring of goals, and now we just can't seem to get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, well, that's sort of a sort of false reality, really, isn't it, playing that sort of level of opponent, and unfortunately against sides who, you know, aren't the best sides in League One, let's be honest, respect to Rochdale and Shrewsbury, that step up, and we're actually struggling. Rochdale aren't actually a team who sort of sit back, for instance, mate, and you know, just try and defend the whole time. They will actually try and pass the ball, as we saw when they get possession. The reasons for us not scoring is just a lack of creativity up front, a lack of confidence and buy-in. But also, the strikers are so deep. You know, I think Ellis Harrison was pretty much, when you looked at his positions over, you know, averaged out when he came on, he pretty much was in the centre circle. And, you know, that's why he's sort of in that position again, where he comes back and plays that awful back pass. So, Jay, it's difficult. But until we get a spark, maybe Jacobs can provide that in the middle. Maybe he comes in and does something different and provides that new input to the attack. But at the moment, it's looking worrying.
Yeah. Dave Chandler on Facebook, he says, we need a striker that's hungry for the ball. How many games are we going to play before the Arseners finally make a change? Watching every game turning out the same. Marquis and Harness, what a waste of time, says Dave on Facebook. And to be honest, Freddie, I do disagree with that one. I can see where he's coming from in the fact, but it is so frustrating. We haven't scored a goal and it does look terrible on John Marquis, but I'll keep banging the drum. I don't think it's down to Marquis himself. I think he's getting into the positions. I do still think it is the support around him that's not helping him to get the ball in the back of the net.
Oh, I agree with you, Jake. I don't think it would, in those two games, I don't think it would matter who was up front. They just simply didn't create enough in terms of the high quality chances. In terms of the expected goals for that game, it was 1.6, which is pretty much about average for what Portsmouth were last season.
Mm.
So they got the chances up front. They just didn't take them. It was one of those days.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, the type of chances that Marquis is getting is not what he's good at.
No.
He's not good at dealing. He's not good with crosses into the box.
No.
At Doncaster, he was used to counter. They're in a counter-attacking 4-3-3, and he would run onto through balls. That's how he scored against Stevenage in the League Cup this season. And yeah. I think that is the sort of passing which they should be doing. A, it works with Jackets football, counter-attacking, quick. And also, it suits the creative players we have. Imagine Marquis, Curtis and Harness in a front three, maybe even in a 4-3-3, and the three of them are 3-on-2 against two defenders.
Yeah,
you'd bank on them scoring every time. So I don't think it's the personnel up front for me. I think it's the link-up play and the construction.
Yeah, not playing to Marquis's strengths, you could say. As Bradley Wilson also says on Facebook, Marquis is always hungry for the ball. That's not his problem right now at all. And Hugh, as you know, myself and Freddie have just mentioned there about John Marquis and you know his lack of goals so far this season. It is down to the players around him as well. On so many occasions this season, the tail end of last season as well, we saw John Marquis, he's running out wide, he's running, you know, running deep into the midfield to try and pick up the ball and try and create something himself. And you can often see him screaming, you can hear him screaming at his teammates to go forward, to support him, to help him make those attacking runs, but it's not happening. And you've got to feel frustrated for a player like John Marquis, who is such a proven goal scorer at this level, but he's not getting that help from his teammates.
Well, exactly, Jake. He is a proven goal scorer at this level, but anyone at the moment could come into this team and play up front on their own and they're not going to score goals because, to put it frankly, he's been crowded out all the time. You always see John Marquis trying to get the ball down. It's always a bit of a scrappy ball. He's got two defenders on him and a midfielder covering back on top of him. No one's around him to take the ball and everyone looks very static. So even if he does manage to get the ball or hold it up, or there's no one around him to get a good output, you know, ball to. So John Marquis, again, he can score goals for us if we get him on the shoulder of defenders and midfielders make proper runs for him.
Jill in North End, she's texting, good evening all. She says, how is the injury, i.e. Ronan Curtis? She said, keep the faith, there are many twists and turns to the season. Well, Jill, the injury to Ronan Curtis, like you say, he was replaced on the 79th minute by Ellis Harrison. He has since been pictured in a protective boot on social media, although Kenny Jackett has spoke after the game claiming that he is fine and it was just a precaution in taking him off. So fingers crossed he will be fit for Saturday's game against Wigan. I imagine it will be a case of monitoring that as the week goes on. Like Jill, you can have your views read out live on air this evening. Get in contact with us following all the usual methods, all of which can be found on our website, expressfm.com. If you don't know them by now, you have between now and 7 to send those in to us. And as Jill just mentioned there, Freddie, the slight knock to Ronan Curtis yesterday, okay, he probably has had quite a quiet start to the season so far, but that's still something you don't want to see for any player, of course, within the squad. But in particular, a player like Ronan Curtis, who on his day can really change the game for Pompey.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it? For me, Curtis is our best player. He offers so much on that left-hand side, cutting inside onto his strong foot, always being on his toes when there's a direct ball to the wing. It will be a miss if he's not available for the next game.
We've got some more text tweets and emails coming in. Thank you for everyone getting involved. We've got one here from Carolyn Hayling. She says, the lack of fans could be the answer to the lack of confidence for Pompey. Perhaps Fortress Fratton and fans will be the answer. Thank you to Carol for getting in touch. Another good point there, Freddie, in regards to the fans. And hopefully, we might see fans back in Fratton Park this Saturday, although there are a few things which could come into play which prevent that from happening. But in regards to Carol's point, do you believe that it is the lack of the fans at the games which is really not helping to Pompey's cause so far?
It's not helping at all. I think from watching a lot of football during lockdown and from what other managers from other teams have said, the lack of fans is having an impact on the players because it doesn't feel like a league game.
Mm.
How can it? There's not over 17,000 fans at home games. How can they feel like it's worth the same? I think any fans in the ground will be excellent if it's safe, if all the precautions are done properly. I think even 1,000 fans in that stadium will give the players a little bit of a lift.
Yeah. Of course, we won't see any away fans in any grounds for quite a long time. We imagine, well, we don't know. We can't put a date on that one, but it's going to be a rather long time until we see away fans at grounds up and down the country, unfortunately. Hopefully, we'll get them in soon. Chris Harris on Twitter says, not playing for the manager is a fairly common event in toxic manager clubs. Like Pompey, man management, honest dealings with players and enlightened thinking are the prerequisite these days to being a good manager. Mr. Jackett's recent dealings shows that he has none of these, says Chris Harris on Twitter. George Stevens says this season is written off. Hopefully scrape enough points to stay up. Then hope a new manager can provide some football next season. Thank you to George for getting involved. Lads, do we agree with George? Is it a case of fighting relegation this season, or is that perhaps a little bit too much of an exaggeration?
No, Jake, I think there's too much quality in the squad, hopefully, to not be in a relegation scrap this season. However, if you want to push on and try and at least get a playoff space or push above that, then we need to really change the whole way we play or change the style we play. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a relegation fight, but I'm a bit torn at the moment whether it's going to be a mid-table finish or whether we're actually going to have some excitement and push for promotion.
Yeah. I asked a question at the start of the show, Freddie, in regards to perhaps the slow start of the campaign, maybe down to a lack of communication on the pitch, the lack of a vocal point, maybe even a leader in the team. What are your thoughts on that? Could that be a cause for concern for Pompey?
I think Portsmouth have the characters to be able to deal with that. I don't think that's as much of an issue as people making out. You said earlier about Marcus being vocal about where he wants his passes and Tom Naylor in the middle as well. There are a lot of experienced heads in this team and they've been playing together for a while. So I don't see how a potential lack of leadership can be the problem.
Yeah. Marcus texts in as well. He says, going into the season, most people seem to be concerned with the defence, but two clean sheets is very good. And with the talent we've got up front and out wide, it's just a matter of time that we start scoring. So no need for all the doom and gloom. Mark, thank you so much for your text. It's been I've been long awaiting a nice positive text, but it is hard to do that. It has been a pretty drab start to the season, Mark, but you are absolutely spot on. It is only a matter of time, and we do have a quality in the team to score goals and start winning games. And we'll get on to your comment about the defence after the break. You have just over 20 minutes to get in touch with this evening's panel. If you are still yet to do so, we want to hear your reaction from the Blues opening two league fixtures and what you think needs to be done to ensure they get right back on track, ready for the remainder of the season. As always, you can text the word express to 81400, followed by your name and message, or send us an email, pompey@expressfm.com as the address. Alternatively, you can find us on Twitter, include @expressfm within your tweets, or find us on facebook.com/pompeylive. It's time for our final break of the night now, but stick around because we'll be hearing from the new signing, Michael Jacobs, in just a few moments' time when the Football Hour returns here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to part three of tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM, the home also of Pompey Live and the only radio station proud to be passionately Portsmouth for the last 14 years. The Football Hour this evening is being supported by Stagecoach across the South. Head to stagecoach.co.uk or download the app from your relevant app store to see the latest timetables, fares and guidelines in relation to COVID-19. After yesterday's stalemate up in Rochdale, Ollie Marsh caught up with the debutant Michael Jacobs, first asking how good it felt to get his first minutes in wearing a Pompey shirt.
Yeah, obviously I'm really happy to sort of get playing and get going. It's been a good week's training. I've managed to get some good work under my belt, and to finally get out there and put a shirt on is a great experience for me. And just a shame we couldn't nick a goal at the end, but no, it's a great experience, and hopefully many more to come.
You did really dominate in the second half. Is the overriding feeling disappointment after that one?
I think so. I think obviously you come to these places to win the games, and we played some good stuff second half and created some good chances. And at the end of the day, we probably deserve to win the game. But it's important that if you don't score at one end, you don't concede at the other. And another clean sheet on the road is sort of take it into the Wigan game, and hopefully we can get 3 points.
Rochdale, they were pressing hard, they were difficult to break down. How tough was it to play against a team like that?
I think it's difficult. You always know, you sort of get the feeling that they're going to sit in and then hit you on the counter attack and try and soak up a bit of pressure and try and hit you going the other way. So no, they're a good team, and they're well drilled, and it's obviously disappointing, but it's 0-0, so it's good point, but obviously we want to win the game.
You sat out for the Brighton game maybe just because you needed to test your fitness, but how do you feel? Do you feel like you can now push on and sort of go for a start?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always difficult when you come in a bit later on. Obviously the season's a bit difficult, like obviously with the window, and you come in late and you're a bit behind and stuff like that. But no, I feel like I've integrated into the group really well, and with the staff I've managed to get in some good training, and felt good coming on and sort of playing and stuff and getting back out there. So obviously it's been a while since the sort of post-lockdown football and stuff when I last played. So it's just a matter of building it up and get it going.
You spoke about how you can play on the wing and number 10. You seem to be out on the wing today. Is that something that you enjoy, or are you sort of gunning for the number 10 role more so?
I think wherever, sort of when you're in one of them sort of attacking positions, your sort of role is similar regardless of where you play. You've got to make things happen and create chances for John up the top there, because that's at the end of the day, he's the one that we want to get the ball to in them sort of areas, because he's a good finisher. And if you're playing in them positions behind the front three, behind the striker, sorry, then regardless if you play right in the middle and the left, your role doesn't really change too much. As a, obviously you sort of work back a bit more, but I think the three roles are obviously where I can play, so hopefully wherever's fine for me.
Michael Jacobs there with Pompey Media's Ollie Marsh going through his emotions after his Blues debut at the weekend, of course. Hugh, Freddie, welcome back to the show. Michael Jacobs made his debut, of course, yesterday, Hugh, and he only managed to get 23 minutes or so in the Pompey lineup. But he's got a chance this weekend against his former side, perhaps, to start and really prove himself to the manager.
Yeah, he's got to start, hasn't he? Especially after a game where we looked like we were lacking, you know, forward impetus. You've got to throw him in there now, get the team used to playing around him. I'm quite excited to see, you know, how he does. And if he's allowed to have the freedom to play as a creative attacking midfielder in the system, he should create little opportunities as well for the likes of John Marcos. If we can get him the ball in attacking positions, he can play those little cute through balls and stuff, which that's what Marcos needs. You know, just in behind the defence, little balls through, and he can actually score goals as well, mate. He's got a great shot and he knows when to shoot and when to pass.
Alan Swift has got involved on the emails. Don't worry, Alan, we haven't forgot your email. I'm saving one of the best till last. I absolutely love you. Get in touch every single week, Alan. Really appreciate your support. He says, hi, the proposed idea that it would be far too expensive to get rid of Kenny and his crew is very scary at this point. Something is severely wrong within the squad and they do not want to play for him. This is from Alan Swift on the emails, of course. John Marquis missing those two chances may come down to general lack of enthusiasm in the team. So unless the owners fork out the cash to extend his contract, then we are stuck with another fruitless season. Would they dare renew his contract next year? He's made major mistakes, like pushing Pittman disrespectfully out of the door, says Alan. What a strike partnership Marquis and Pittman could have been. There's goals galore there, but that's far too positive for Kenny, says Alan. He says, so apart from the team issues, it seems I'd like to see Pittman still at the squad. He thinks he would have made a real difference to Pompey's campaign. Freddie, Brett Pittman, was that a mistake letting him go?
No, I don't think so. I think, I'm sorry to say that Pittman, I felt like he could have gone even earlier, to be honest. He had that 25 goal season, which was excellent, but then it just drifted away from there, and I never felt like he suited the system. He was playing as a cam behind the striker, didn't look interested, it didn't really work. And then the stints he did play as a striker, he didn't take those chances at that time. Now the argument is whether the manager just said in that season, right, Pittman, here's 10 games at striker, you're not going to get dropped depending on how you play. I think that's what Pittman needed in order to keep him.
Yeah.
And I don't think Pittman and Marcus would have worked in a 4-4-2. I think we would have lost the midfield completely if we did that.
Yeah. Forrest Watson on Facebook, he says, I just feel it's all much and such the same. It's the same formation and style of football from his first season. It didn't work the last three seasons, so why would the fourth be any different? I would like to see a new manager and would like us to go two up front for at least 10 games, see where it takes us. My only concern is that we only have two strikers, says Forrest. Trevor Such says, it to me seems like the players have lost confidence. They just don't believe that the manager's system and the tactics work. They look fed up playing game after game. It's making our squad look inept and poor, despite their quality on paper. And Jeff Harris says, Kenny seems to think we're the crossing team that we were when he first came and saw Pittman score for fun in that style of play in the first season. We then switched to the wingers and the 10 being the ones to score, with Hawkins up playing up top and holding the ball the second season. This season, we're neither. I think that's a pretty fair comment from Jeff, actually, Hugh, in regards to the way that Kenny has approached each season. And that first season was largely down to the goal-scoring ability of Brett Pittman, who we've just discussed, but it was mainly crossing the ball into the box where he was really at his best. This season, we don't have that kind of player in John Marcus, as much as we've, you know, gone on about how much he is a great striker for the team, but he's not really a great header of the ball. So perhaps it is those kind of tactics that we need to tweak in order to, like we said, you know, 10 minutes ago or so, to get Marcus back to where he is, and that's a top quality striker.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But when Pittman was in, you have to remember that when you had sort of like Curtis Lowe sort of either side, or I think the thing is with Pittman is that he demands the ball and he wants the attack to go through him. So everyone needs to draw players and get the ball, get it to Pittman quickly to finish. And he was a good finisher, but his all-round game apart from that was pretty lacking. With Marcus, yeah, you just can't hoof the ball up to him, mate, constantly.
No.
He needs ball to the floor and he needs to be in behind on the shoulder of the defenders so that he's through on goal or you know, keeping it back, because... And we're not doing that. We're not getting the ball up far enough up the pitch and drawing enough defenders, enabling to play those sort of balls.
Chris Overthrow on Twitter says, as Pompey fans, we are used to demand that the players give 100% and we give the 100% support. Sadly, the unwritten contract has been broken on both sides in recent times. That first half performance and the previous performances this season were dire and not acceptable. Thank you to Chris for getting in touch. Now, usually this is the time of the show, lads, where we would preview Pompey's next game. And there are quite a lot of midweek fixtures coming up for the Blues this season, Freddie. But this week is somewhat different. We do not have a game tomorrow. No trophy game, no cup, of course. No league action until Saturday afternoon. Do you think this could be somewhat of a little boost that Pompey need in order to maintain full fitness ahead of a weekend's match?
Potentially, yeah. It's always nice not to have a cup game where you think, oh, it doesn't really matter what the result is. It'd be nice for the players to have the full week to rest, recuperate, and get on the training pitch and do really well. I don't mind that there's no cup game this week. If there was one change that I would make, though, I would switch up Bryn Morris for Ben Close or Andy Cannon instead. The only game I saw Bryn Morris, which I thought was good, was against Stevenage. And to me, he's a water carrier centre midfield who doesn't pick up the buckets of water to start with.
Yeah.
I think if you had Ben Close or Cannon, a more box-to-box option, that would support the number 10, whether it's Jacobs or who else, and the striker. And I think that would solve a lot of the problems that Porto have had in their first four games.
I think what's really frustrating, Hugh, is that during my time on the Football Hour, which is coming up to 2 years now, a lot of the time I have backed Pompey and I've come to the defence of Kenny and to the team as well on pretty much every occasion that I can, because I like to be as positive as I can, as what's in me. I hate being negative, but a lot of the times when we come away from games against teams, and this is no disrespect to these teams, of course, but teams like Rochdale, teams like Accrington or Shrewsbury, teams who you think on paper we should be beating, as the size of a club we should be beating. And on all of those occasions, I've sat here and said, well, you know, League One's a tough league, and used all the cliches, but anyone can beat anyone on paper. You can't underestimate so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. But do you feel that maybe, and I think I'm creeping over to that point now, but do you feel that this getting now into Kenny's fourth season, that we're playing teams like Rochdale and Shrewsbury, we're unable to break them down, we're unable to beat them, it's time to start using those excuses and to actually say, no, this is it. We need this season to be the season where Pompey are the best team in the league. We need to actually stake our claim on the division and be the best that we can be, and stop using these cliches that, you know, any team can beat anyone. We need to be beating these relegation fodder sides.
Yeah, we definitely need to beat them, Jake. And sometimes, you know, when everyone's telling you it's you, you're the problem, probably is you. And it's not all the other teams around us. It is Pompey at the moment. Mm. It's not that we've come up against some great sides who have played us off the park. It's the system we're playing in. And if Kenny Jackett can't sort it out soon, and I don't have a lot of faith at the moment that he will change it up, because he's quite a stubborn manager when it comes to his tactics, it's not going to work this season. So you actually see some of the players sort of, you know, not listening to his tactics, I suppose you could say. So against Shrewsbury, Harness actually played pretty much positionally at centre attacking midfield. He just drifted into the middle because he wasn't getting the ball. Mm. Only to be subbed off, I'm guessing, for not following those sort of tactics. That means that Johnson behind him ends up not getting forward at all as well. So it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. But yeah, Jay, we all try and be positive. And me and Freddie on our podcast always try and be positive. But it's getting difficult to actually remain positive now.
Stephen Jerome has emailed in and says, hi guys, it's fair to say we haven't had the best start to the season, have we? The performance at home against Shrewsbury last Saturday wasn't great, and then we go to Rochdale and we dominated the second half, but again we come away with no goals to show for it. Okay, it's two clean sheets and we haven't conceded a goal yet in the league, but when you dominate a whole half of football against a team like Rochdale, you really should be putting your chances away. If we want promotion this season, we need to be winning these kind of games. To be fair to Rochdale, they could have nicked it at the death with that mistake from Harrison late on in the game. I know a lot of people want Kenny out, but the players have to take responsibility for their performances. It's not just down to the manager. He goes on to say that we've picked up 2 points from a possible six, and that's not good enough, I'm afraid. It's probably too early to say this, but I think the next game against Wigan on Saturday is a game we simply have to win. I am going to say it's a must-win game. Make of that what you will, lads. Stephen Southsea, Stephen Jerome, thank you very much for getting in touch with your thoughts this evening. Before we do head off, Freddie, I'd like to know what you think needs to change ahead of Saturday's game against Wigan. Do you believe it is a must-win for Pompey?
Absolutely, 100%. If Portsmouth don't win that game, then I know it's the third game of the season, but the promotion ambitions are in doubt, aren't they? Even three games in.
Yeah.
Portsmouth in the last couple of seasons always sometimes found a way to beat these sides without looking very good stylistically or whatever. And in terms of changing the tactics, all the stuff we've been talking about for the last hour, if Portsmouth press really high or aggressive, win their duels in the midfield, and then break with pace either through the middle with a through ball to John Marquis or on the wing, I think Portsmouth will be fine. But if they're too slow with the movement off the ball like they were in the last game, and it's a bit plodding and it looks very one-dimensional with the crossing from halfway across the attacking half, then Portsmouth might not be able to beat Wigan on Saturday.
Hugh, your thoughts ahead of Saturday's game against Wigan? What needs to change in your opinion?
Well, I mean, Jake, we've been talking about it for this hour, but I think the thing is that we really have to go at Wigan, who are not a great team, as we know, with all the problems they've got at the moment. So we need to go there confidently, play Wigan, play our game, get the ball forward quickly, press them, force them into making mistakes, and yeah, get on the front foot.
I'm going to ask you both for a score prediction for the game. I know we usually do this on the preview show before the match, but I'm going to ask you both for one anyway. We are coming up to the end of the show. Freddie Webb, your score prediction, early one for Pompey versus Wigan on Saturday.
I'll keep the positivity rolling, even though so far we haven't had a lot to shout about. I will say 2-0 Portsmouth.
Freddie is going for a 2-0 win. How about you, Hugh?
I'm going to go with I'll be positive as well. I'll say we'll nick one and we'll win it 1-0.
Lads, thank you very much. I'm going to end the show with a tweet from Ryan Stilwell, of course, analyst on Pompey Live. He says, only two of Pompey's 11 and subs yesterday were no new signings. The other 12 were trained slash played together for a year at least. Devil's advocate questioned to a statement of, we're getting there, would be, shouldn't we already be there? Pompey beat Rochdale 3-0 twice last season. Make of that what you will, Pompey fans. Okay, Hugh, Freddie, I'd like to thank you both very much for taking the time out of your days to join me this evening. I'm sure everyone back home, like myself here in the studio, has enjoyed hearing your thoughts and analysis on Pompey's start to the new campaign. I'm afraid, folks, that's all we've got time for this evening. A big shout out to everyone who tuned in throughout the hour, and in particular those who got involved on the text, tweets and emails. Your Monday night here on Express FM looks like this. Jeff and Adrian will be taking over from me in just a few moments' time. They'll be here with the latest instalment of a soft rock show after the 7 o'clock news. And then from 9, Dan Ogus returns with Scattering the Roots, 2 hours of the greatest folk and blues music from over the years, before Non-Stop Express sees you through the night from 11 up until 7 a.m. tomorrow, when Ian James sits in again for Mason Jordan on Portsmouth Breakfast. You can find the full list of shows scheduled over the next 7 days by heading to expressfm.com/programmes. You'll be able to hear the repeat of tonight's Football Hour very shortly on our website and through our social media channels. If you missed some of the show or just fancy listening back to it, you can hear it right after this. I'll be back at the same time on Friday evening with two more Blues supporters to preview the weekend's visit of Wigan to Fratton Park, where Pompey will be looking to secure their first league victory of the season. We look forward to hearing from you then and bringing you all of the latest Pompey debate and discussion. But until we meet next time, have a great evening, enjoy the rest of your week, and of course, stay safe too. Thank you again for listening to the Monday Football Hour.